Amen. Well, friends, we can look now at Thessalonians once again. We're studying Thessalonians. We're in chapter 1, and we can come to verse 7. I'll just give you a little bit of the context there for you. 1 Thessalonians, we'll take it up from 7 and following. Let me go back to 6, and then you'll get the flow of what's being said. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonian Christians, he says, "And you Thessalonians, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Verse 7, "so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Amen. Well, let's consider some of these verses now. Now, the Apostle Paul is reminding the Thessalonians that he had been amongst them, and that they had noted how he had lived, so that Paul could say to the Thessalonians, "You became followers of us and of the Lord." And he had set out such a good example, so he said that you observed our lives. Well, therefore now emulate our lives, follow us in the way that you're already doing, and go on and on doing that, so that you will live more godly lives. I reminded you last time, we looked at this particular passage, that he and his team, as Timothy and Silas, they had been very devout Christians amongst them, and very godly as well, showing them holiness, showing them this is the way Christians are called to live. Follow our example. They'd also been very gentle as well, and very loving. And Paul used an unusual illustration for a man to use, but he did use it. He said, "We were like a nursing mother amongst you. That's how gentle and tender we were with you." That's rather an unusual illustration, isn't it, for a man? But he used that because that's the way they were. They were kind. You see, that's the spirit of Christ Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax or candle he will not quench. He's so tender. And the Spirit of Christ was fully at work in Paul and those with him. And so that's how he dealt with these Thessalonians. And they acknowledged that this was the hand of the Lord in the way that they were living. He also says, "You know how we, not only did we live amongst you, but how we labored amongst you. We were fervent in making the gospel known to you and teaching you and encouraging in whatever way we could." So he commends them for following his example. But he also said, "It wasn't just about following my example in the way that I'd been living or was living amongst you, but also you followed our example by way of persecution. You were persecuted. You received the word of the Lord, you Thessalonians, and in no time at all, the Jews and the synagogue came against you, and you were persecuted." Well, he says, that was like us, wasn't it? We were persecuted when we arrived in Philippi. We were persecuted there, and we've been persecuted in other places. And furthermore, even the Lord Jesus Christ suffered such terrible things at the hands of sinners, didn't he? So, you followed us. You followed us in the way we were living, but you also followed us in the experience of your persecution. So, I commend you, he says. You see, he's encouraging them. He's helping them. And I commend you. And so, he's pleased with their wholehearted following of Paul and the example of the team with him. And so, in that way, he's encouraging them. Now, here's an interesting thing. They had imitated Paul, who had previously imitated Christ, Paul imitating Christ, Thessalonians imitating Paul and Christ, and so now the Thessalonians also, they are becoming imitated by other people around Greece, north and south, Macedonia and Achaia. So in other words, the imitators were being imitated. People were following the example of the Thessalonians as well now. And really speaking, that's the way it works all the time in terms of demonstrating how to live the Christian life. You show it by your life. The person comes to understand the gospel, of course, and repent and believe, but then they're going to look at you, and they're going to observe you, how you live, and what you do, and what you say, and so on and so forth. And in doing that, they imitate your good example. And then in turn, as time goes by, as people observe that. And that's how the circle keeps widening. And that's why the church is spread throughout the entire world at this time. It's a wonderful way of doing things. So he says there in verse 7, so that you Thessalonians, you became examples to all, so it's extensive, in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, north and south Greece. You became examples yourselves. And for from you the word of the Lord sounded out. Now that word example there is the word model. Similar, example, model, but similar thing, but it is model. And this is an interesting fact. It's verse 7 of Thessalonians chapter 1. In that verse there, this is the only place in the New Testament where a whole church is commended as a model for other churches. That's very interesting. It's not found in any other way, in that specific way. You became examples or models to all the other believers throughout Greece. You see, we just read Acts chapter 2. And indeed, the very first church formed by the power of the preaching of the gospel and the presence of the Holy Spirit, they did set out a very good example. And so that many Christians today will look at Acts chapter 2 and other portions later on in the Acts and say, oh, that we could be more like that. Absolutely, nothing wrong with that at all. And they were indeed a very good example. You might even say a prime example. But it wasn't actually said about them. The Spirit of God, who has given us the New Testament, never actually said about Acts and the Jerusalem church that they were the model church. This is so interesting. It said here about the Thessalonians that they were a model church. Now the others were, of course, but specifically here concerning the Thessalonians. How interesting is that? And of course, the majority of the Thessalonians were Gentiles, whereas in Jerusalem, the majority were Jews. What you've got here then is something to think about. What is a model church? Think of the model church. What would it be like? What would be the church of your dreams? The dream church. But two thoughts in my mind here, both coming from two ministers that I know. I remember a brother in Cumbran, we were in attendance at his church for a little while, and he had come up with a statement, then he'd written it out, and he wanted to give it out, so he read it out. And it was called, "The Church That I Dream Of." I'll tell you his name, you'll probably never meet him, but it doesn't matter if you do, because he's a lovely brother altogether. Steve Kennedy, "The Church That I Dream Of," and he gave it out. And it was lovely, and it really was good. It was biblical, it was accurate. He talked about the type of church he would love to see and love to be in. And then the other example I'm thinking of, and this is someone even more local now, and I won't give out this name, he said, "Oh, the church that I go to in the locality, in the valleys," he said, "it's my dream church." A pastor saying about his church, "This is my dream church. This is a marvelous church. Of all the churches I could have ever chosen to be in, this is the one that I would love to be in." And in fact, he was, of course, you see. And he had a dream church. In his mind, therefore, he has some sort of model that he's thinking about, some pattern or type. And he says, "That's it. The church that I attend is just that." Well, there's not very many pastors that can say that, I tell you. But then, nonetheless, That's what he said, and it's in the locality. So I want to ask this question then. What's a model church like? And I want it from the scriptures. See, my first friend was having a little bit of flight of fancy when he gave out. It was all good. It's biblical enough. But there was some flight of fancy in it. So let's ask this question. What's the model church like? Well, let's start at the beginning. The true church, the model church, is the church of Christ. It's Christ's church. It's his and his alone. We know these scriptures, but Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we looked at this recently as well, didn't we? And the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking to Peter, after his great confession of who Christ is at Caesarea Philippi, the Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter, he says there, "And you also are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." It's not your church, Peter. It's my church. It's not our church. It's his church. It's not a denomination's church. It's not a movement's church. A true church, a model church, is Christ's church. It belongs to him. He orders it. He calls it into being. He is the rock and the foundation of it. And he's the focus. He's the center. And it's his church. I remember one preacher said one time, see if I can get this right, Christ has his own church. Christ says, "I will build my church. I won't build yours, and you won't build mine. I'll build my own," says the Lord Jesus. I thought that was challenging, you know. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't include us in the work of building his church, but it's his church and not ours. So, there's a little lesson for us here. Although we will have a heart and feeling and affections for a local church, remember, you can call it your church, that's all right, but it's actually his church. It belongs to him. So that's something to bear in mind. Now, a model church recognizes that. It recognizes that this is the Lord's work, this is the Lord's church, and it's his church, and therefore it belongs to him, and therefore he is glorified in it through and through. Now that's just a fundamental thing. Let's move on then, asking the question, what's a model church like? Or you can use the idea, what's the dream church like? Well, the model church is and must surely be based on Christ. Now we've got that scripture there again, haven't we? Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Now it's generally agreed by Protestant commentators that the rock was the confession of Peter. As the Lord Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter answered, the others, he was speaking for the others I'm sure as well, but he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." On that rock, that truth, the church is built. So a model church is a church based and centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock, he's the foundation. And as he is the rock of ages, he cannot be moved. So this tells us now that the church that Christ is building on his rock will abide forever. Kings and thrones may rise and perish, but the church of Jesus constant will remain, says one of the hymns. Not quite like that, but that's the gist of it. And that means that if you are part now as a living stone, cut out of the sins of the quarry sins of the world, and then added and shaped to be in the church as a living stone on the rock, that means you're going to be in the church for eternity. And you're going to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord forever. And that should encourage us. And it's true that the way the church has times of blessings and times of dearth in the earth, they come and they go, but the church keeps going on. It'll just keep going on. And it's to be part of that living church is something to appreciate and realize more and more, built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. But also, he's the center. He's the soul of it. It's a lovely scripture I've always loved in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. And it speaks about the Messiah and the peaceable one when he comes, Shiloh, when he comes. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, who is he? Well, he's the Messiah. Therefore, it's Jesus Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So we gather this morning. We're not many, but we can grow under the blessing of God. But Jesus reduced it down to where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. So even the smallest church could be two or three, but Christ is there. But who are they gathering to? To him. And he is the center. And they gather in his name with the authority and the power that his name carries as well. So he's the focus and he's the center. So have you noticed how many of our hymns refer to Jesus? There are more hymns written about Jesus Christ, than all the other hymns. There are so many of them because he is the center. He is the sun and the soul of it all. And it's to him that we gather. Christ is all in all. Now a modern church knows that. We come to him. We gather in his name. We worship and adore him. And by the grace of God we seek to make him known. Now the Thessalonians were like that. They had gathered. They had recognized that Christ was building his church. They'd been saved and added to the church. They're on the rock. Christ is the center. And so consequently, as they are focusing on him and enjoying fellowship with him and have got his spirit within them, gradually but surely they become more and more like him. So the next thing to say about a model church, what's it like? Well, it's Christ-like in its manners and in its behavior. It demonstrates itself out in the life of the believer. The people who gather in his name seek to live after the pattern of Christ, following his example, empowered by his own spirit within them, living, therefore, holy, loving, and sacrificial lives for others. Remember Pastor Williams helping me at one point in my early years? Said several things to me, you know. I remember at one time, I was getting a bit impatient, I was. And he said, you have need of patience, brother. I said, yeah, okay. I'm a young man, see, at the time. But he said, remember this. Even Christ pleased not himself. It's Romans chapter 15, verse 3. Well, if he wrote that upon my mind and heart that day, he wrote it with indelible ink. Even Christ pleased not himself. A modern church will not please itself. And the individuals that make up that church will not please themselves. Because Christ didn't. He lived a life of love and sacrifice on the behalf of others. Did he not? Yes. Well, therefore, if we are his and called to be his, we must be like him. And that's exactly what the Lord calls us to do. And these Thessalonians, they had captured this spirit of serving others. And you know, little adage, you know, joy is made up of Jesus first, others next, yourself last. And if you put that principle in your life, you will find joy. And that's the way to live. And so these Thessalonians, they were living like that. And of course their lives were speaking volumes to people around them. How they've changed. How their lives have changed. Formerly, they were involved with all manner of gross evil and sinfulness. Formerly, it says here that they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. So formerly they were idolaters. And in pagan idolatry at that time, it wasn't just that you had a couple of little statues in the corner of the living room. You would be involved from time to time in the most lewd ceremonies and immorality and unclean things. But that's all gone. Now you become a Christian, that's all shaken off. You become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and your lives become pure and Christ-like more and more. That's not to say any of us have arrived, but we go on and on growing in grace. And sanctification is an ongoing process, and will only be completed in this life at the moment we breathe our last breath. So the model church is Christ-like. And to add to that then, the model church is therefore pure in its holiness and in the way that it lives. But that works out in terms of devotion to the Lord. And I could summarize that by saying the model church is prayerful. It is prayerful. They turn from idols, that's verse 9, to the true and the living God. And that meant that they were now in fellowship with God, and enjoying God, and communing with God, and praying and calling on the Lord. We know that they were a prayerful church, the Thessalonians, because Paul could say to them, chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. So they were praying, but he's encouraging them now, don't give up praying. Keep on praying, and pray on and pray through, as it were. Now, they had been cleansed from their sin. They were in communion with the Holy God. Therefore, they could talk to him and enjoy fellowship with him, and they were praying to him. And prayer, of course, has lots of aspects in it. There's praise, there's petition, supplication, intercession, of course, there's thanksgiving. All those elements come into it. And prayer is a mark of a true Christian church. The church is prayerful, the people are prayerful, they enjoy the prayer times and the prayer meetings and that sort of thing. And it shows, therefore, dependency and trust in the Lord. And that's the Christian life, isn't it? To enjoy fellowship with the Lord and express your dependency upon him and trust and pray things through and fellowship with him in that way. These Thessalonians were like that. Now, they were a model church. They called a model church in verse 7. So as you can see, they were therefore prayerful, because Paul was saying pray without ceasing, continue in prayer, in other words. And another aspect, a model church is a preaching church, praying church, a pure church, holy, a praying church, and a preaching church. This is verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so we don't have to say anything. They were out there preaching. I don't need to say that every single individual were doing that, but as a church they were involved in making the message known to the ungodly and the unsaved all around them. Now there's some powerful words used here. For from you, the word of the Lord sounded forth. Sounded forth. The idea is of reverberation, sounding out. It could be translated sounding out. Some have done this, translated as sounding out like a great bell. Imagine some of the great bells in the city of London. And they start ringing those bells. It's not long before all of London hears it, sooner or later, as these great bells start singing out. Well, that's what the Thessalonians were doing. They were sounding out the gospel like a great bell sounding. But you can put it even stronger. It's a very strong word, sounding forth. Some say it could be translated as, you rang out like a clap of thunder. That's how powerful your preaching was. In other words, your preaching had volume to it. It's as if the Holy Spirit had turned up the volume of the sound of the gospel from you. And you couldn't keep it within your locality. You had to take it out. You had to make it known and go and tell others the good news. You've been saved. We've been saved. You can be saved. We've been brought from death to life. We've turned from idols to the true and living God. And they wanted to tell everybody. So their preaching was expanding. And it was loud, as it were. Not necessarily physically loud, but they just kept it going. And made everyone hear and know what it was they'd come to believe. So he says here, from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia, where they were, but also down in the south, in Achaia as well. And also in every place. Now some have said, well, that's hyperbole. Or how can a church preach in every place? Well, it's not impossible. See, the Thessalonians were on a main highway, a merchant highway, and they had a port nearby, and they had other roads that went inland, and they were a hub, and they were used to making news known. News travelled in those ways, word of mouth by and large, and they were in the centre of that network of making news known. So it's quite possible that from them sounded out the word of the Lord into every place. So could you imagine this? A little band of Thessalonian Christians, they're growing in number. We'll go down to the docks and we'll wait for the ships to come in. And then we'll meet the sailors and we'll tell the sailors, do you know you can turn to God and have forgiveness of sins? And you can know the true and living God, and you can be sure of everlasting life, preaching the Christ, the resurrection? And some of those sailors would have believed this. Well, they'll travel off, and they'll go to another place. And they, with the same spirit, imitating the imitators, and they'll go and make it known to others. And so it could spread, and it would, and it did, I'm sure that's right. It says there, in every place, from you, sounded out the word of the Lord. It's wonderful to think that you can have a church like that. We need to ask, say, oh Lord, help us to be such a church. Give us insight and courage and grace and the Spirit to begin to do this afresh, to make known this gospel. And as we can, go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. A model church is like that. And that's what they did. They preached and set forth these things in the way that they did, with power from on high. It's interesting, isn't it? We come today to look at this message of a model church. I couldn't have ordered this, but since the day we remember that the Spirit came, and the Spirit had come upon the Thessalonians in their experience. They received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. And they were empowered to take the gospel near and far. We can do this. The Lord can help us. You've all got your openings and your opportunities. You all have your little contacts in the community. You can say a word here and a little word there. You can also encourage people to come to gatherings week by week, whatever it is put on and whatever is done here. And the word of the Lord could sound out like a great bell from this place once again. It's done it in the past. It could happen again now and in the near future. Why not? Surely the same Spirit was in the Thessalonians is in us. So pray for these things. Pray and preach and live pure and holy lives. Now I've only touched on the surface there. What's a model church like? You can buy some excellent books to describe it. One of the best I ever read was called The Glorious Body. The Glorious Body. That's it, just that. The Glorious Body. It's a reference to the Church of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. And you can look at these things and pray about these things and ask that these things be realized amongst us. The apostle says, that's what you did. You lived like that. You were a model church. The only place where it's spoken about as a church as a whole being a model for others. He says, so much so have you preached the gospel round and about that I don't have to say anything, as it were. It's almost as if the Thessalonians was doing all the preaching now. They weren't, but it's as if they had still come to the fore in the preaching of the gospel. Paul says, I don't have to say anything. You're doing it for me. And that's a happy day when a minister can say the people are doing the preaching as much as they can, and they're out there making known the gospel. So as a little note, just as something to tie a knot in our minds, I just put down here the muted apostle. Not strictly true, but the muted apostle, he says, you're out there making known your faith towards God in every place, so we don't need to have to say anything. Because what happens is this, we would have gone to other places, we were going to other places, but we would have said, have you heard about the Thessalonians and how God has converted them? But when we get to these places, Before we could say anything about you, people say to us, have you heard about the Thessalonians? They're all converted. Marvelous things are happening there. You know, there's a revival, if you like, going on there. And guess what? They've been here. So this is the sort of thing. And he says, I'm muted, as it were, because of the way you're preaching. It's not just the preaching that's coming from your lips. It's also the preaching that's coming from your lives. The two are joined at the hip and are together. Your lives are speaking. And whenever I mention these things, people are saying, well, we know. We know. Well, I got a nice little quote to endorse that. This is from Matthew Poole, Puritan commentator. He said this sometimes. The good examples of the people may ease their ministers of some labor in spreading the gospel. That's lovely. The good example of the people can ease the labors of the ministers, because the people are also getting fully involved in the work of the Lord. Well, isn't that wonderful? He says, for they themselves declare, verse 9, concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. Now what follows in verse 9 at the end and 10 is really a summary of what Paul preached and what he made known to the Thessalonians. So I'd like to look at that in more detail, God willing, next time I'm with you. I won't be here next week. Young Josh will. Pray for him and pray he'll be blessed and you'll be blessed. When I come back amongst you, God willing, I intend now that we look in a little more detail at the end of verse 9 and 10. So let me just bring this to a conclusion now. Paul preached Jesus Christ, and he said, you Thessalonians have imitated me and the Lord. You in turn are being imitated by others. Your good example is causing others to turn to the Lord. And so the circle of blessing and influence is widening all the time. It's important to remember that a true church is all based on Christ. It's Christ Jesus from beginning to end. Scripture says, isn't it, about Jesus Christ? He's the first and the last. And I'd like to say, and he's everything else in between as well. It's Christ, Christ, Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All the way through. We preach Christ and him crucified. So a church that is a model church will have that spirit within it. Also, it will live godly and it will pray much and seek and endeavor to do all that it can to preach this great gospel. Remember Vernon Hyam wrote that lovely hymn, Great is the Gospel. And it is a great gospel, it really is. Where mercy met the anger of God's wrath. We have a gospel to preach, it's good news. If you've got good news in any other area of your life, you tend to spill it out. Well, we need to recapture this. Lord, help us spill out the best news, which is the gospel itself. It's news that tells people that they can come from out of the darkness and into the light. It's news that tells people they can come out of death and into life. It's news that tells people that you can come from uncleanness into holiness. And you can be sure that you are a child of God, based and founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, the church of the living God. The church and the church alone will endure forever. A model church. Lord, help us to be a model church. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Amen.